On New Year's Eve 2018, a woman with significant developmental disabilities gave birth to a baby boy in Phoenix at Hacienda Healthcare, a long-term care facility in Phoenix. The nurse who sexually assaulted her is now in prison, and civil lawsuits have been settled. But efforts to reform the system of care for some of Arizona's most vulnerable residents continues. And with me to talk about what has changed or not in the 3 years since Hacienda made headlines is Erica McFadden, Executive Director of the Arizona Developmental Disabilities Planning Council. Erica, what happened at Hacienda was sickening to so many people. I'm sure it was for you as well. But was it also alarming because you were so much more aware than the general public that this type of thing was happening more than every once in a while?
Yes, it sure was. In fact, before that even happened, we were coming together as a group to identify this was an issue. We were going to be convening a study to assess how Arizona's abuse response prevention system was faring. And so the fact that that happened when it did, while horrible, it was very timely for what we were trying to do. We were trying to wake up the system before something like Hacienda happened. It happened so much with our people because they're not necessarily believed when they report because they're not seen as credible. And they're at higher rates of being exploited because they're not seen as credible witnesses.
So when you're aiming to have reform, aiming to have the legislature do something, how much of the initial step is explaining to them, you know, it's not just reform, we need to have a different kind of understanding as well?
Yeah, I think that the whole crisis at Hacienda and the rape of that young woman, I think that kind of gave them a quick education because there was a baby involved and it made international headlines. And they realized that they had to do something because doing nothing was not an option in response to what happened. And so, that first, when that happened, there was a flurry of legislative action, there was governor action, there was state agency action at the time, trying to recover from what happened, ensure it didn't happen again.
Well, has any of it made a difference over the last couple of years from your perspective?
So that is a very good question, Steve. I think the jury is still out. So what we're seeing so far is, there has been the legislature did strengthen retaliation laws because our individuals were so afraid to report because they were afraid they were going to get punished for it. And so the legislature did strengthen retaliation laws so that they could not be retaliated against, anti-retaliation laws, I should say. And so that was put into place. There was also an exhaustive list of people added to the mandated reporter list of people who are now required to report suspected abuse. And so the list is very long, and every year it seems like the legislature adds more people to it. The problem now that we're seeing, and the state agencies also, they've mandated annual training for agencies that are DES contracted agencies and Access contracted agencies that work with vulnerable adults. So that's also in place. What we're seeing though is that while well-intentioned, there has been awareness, raised awareness. There is the increased reports being called into Adult Protective Services now, but we're still not sure at the end of the day if our individuals are safe and if our individuals are getting the information they need. So we're at the point now, there's a study being done. We funded a study to look and see what the experiences are of our individuals that are on the ground to see if they're seeing any difference or any change in response from the state. And at the same time, I know Access funded a study as well to better determine, what the members' experiences are as well now as in response to these policy changes.
A couple of minutes ago, you mentioned Adult Protective Services, which was obviously a big topic of attention at the time of the Hacienda incident. What reforms have taken place there, and what are some other things you'd like to see modified or changed?
So, there was a lot of initial attention on Adult Protective Services. They did have a big meeting back in, I think it was January of 2020, and they came up with an annual action plan. And so they have started working on how they can better make their APS registry more accessible so that people can download it. You can check it to see if any perpetrators that were, that had abused a vulnerable adult, if they're on that list before you hire them. So they made that more easily available and downloadable. They've also been working more closely with law enforcement to be able to increase trainings about how to work with APS. I think the issue now that we're facing is, since this has happened, their substantiation rates, meaning, you know, when they find the perpetrator and they can prove the perpetrator did it and the abuse actually happened, their substantiation rates have actually decreased from 2017, when it was only 2% of cases were substantiated. And now it's like 0.4% in 2021. So it's actually getting worse instead of better. They have said they're getting increased training, but unless we do something different over APS, I'm concerned that it's, you know, we're getting all these people to report to them, but then we still are having the same, you know, non-response for our individuals. So it's like, why even bother calling? We don't want them to feel that way either.
When it comes to appropriate sex education for people with developmental disabilities, what is happening at this point? And what sort of reforms would you like to see there? And what really needs to happen?
So what was left off of all the recommendations that were made in the past, in response to Hacienda, was looking at school-age kids with developmental disabilities. And we have a school group that's part of that ARC-led collaboration, that Sexual Violence and Intellectual Developmental Disability Collaborative. And they found that many of our students were being left out of comprehensive sex ed. And the problem with that is that so often we have people in our community who need help with their personal care needs, you know, helping them get dressed, helping them get bathed. And so if they get invaded or abused, you know, or sexually assaulted, sometimes they may not know because they never got that education of what proper boundaries are, you know, what a healthy relationship is. And in fact, it goes the other way too. Some of our individuals become perpetrators, not intentionally, because they never understood, you know, especially as you become an adolescent, you know, what a healthy relationship is, what proper boundaries are. And so we continually hear that they're being excluded from these opportunities to learn about sexual education, anatomy, things like that, if they're in, separate special education classrooms. And so we're proposing that there be something in place that is developmentally appropriate and that's accessible to all different students with disabilities, that they can be able to get that education and information they need to prevent abuse or to be able to understand what's appropriate. And that continues to be missing from current curriculum for our students. And it also makes them at a higher risk of being abused, exploited, or themselves doing the abusing or exploiting.
Erica McFadden is Executive Director at the Arizona Developmental Disabilities Planning Council. Erica, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, Steve.